You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome. Welcome to Max A. Pooch's Awesome Animal Advocates on the Pet Life Radio Network. I'm Keith Sanderson, host and creator of Max A. Pooch's Awesome Animal Advocates, the program where you will meet the doers, the leaders, the people who are making a difference for animals in your neighborhoods, counties, states, and around the world. You will learn how these amazing people became involved in doing what they do, why they spend time, money, and long hours each day fighting to save the lives of and or improving the living conditions of companion, domestic, wild animals, and more. Today's guest is J.A. Mills, author of Blood of the Tiger, a story of conspiracy, greed, and the battle to save a magnificent species. Judy has worked for organizations that include Traffic, World Wildlife Fund, Conservation International, and Save the Tiger Fund. She has spent 20 years on the trail of those who will and do exploit not only tigers, but bears, rhinos, and other iconic symbols of the wild. The trail she followed is as elusive as that of the tiger and its native haunts. The story that results is a complicated one, one that is filled with greed, big money, and geopolitics. Everything a modern-day best-selling thriller is filled. The story is so incredible that if Blood of the Tiger were fiction, it would probably never have been published because it would be too unbelievable. It would have been thought unbelievable because who would believe a story that includes raising tigers for tiger bone wine? Many people think wild tigers are on the road to recovery, but the reality is they are in greater danger than ever from a menace few experts ever saw coming. That menace is an industry that plies its trade selling tiger bone wine, exotic tiger cuisine, and tiger skin decor to China's elite. The result? There may be only 3,000 wild tigers left. We will meet Judy in a moment, and she will explain why the increase in the raising of tigers for the luxury trade puts even more pressure on wild tiger populations. But first, a word from our sponsors.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Hi, Jill. I see you and Bella are enjoying this lovely day as well.
It's a perfect day for a walk. Isn't that right, Bella?
And what a colorful ID tag you have, Bella. It certainly puts my Rusty's boring engraved tag to shame.
Isn't it great? It's a dog tag art tag.
Dog tag art?
Yeah, dog tag art makes the world's coolest pet ID tags. Pick from hundreds of cute designs or upload your photos or artwork to create a unique tag of your own. They even give you 4 lines of text on the back of the tag for important contact information.
I love it! But do they hold up? We have to replace Rusty's metal tags so often because the information wears away.
Dog tag art tags are some of the highest quality pet tags out there. They're made with super durable stainless steel. Your information is always legible and the tags are guaranteed for life.
Well, I'm sold. Where can I get my dog tag art tag for Rusty?
DogTagArt.com.
Sounds great! We can't wait to get online and get a tag of our own.
DogTagArt.com. We keep best friends together. Use the coupon code RADIO for a 25% discount off any tag.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Max A. Pooch's Awesome Animal Advocates. I'm your host, Keith Sanderson, and our guest is J.A. Mills, author of Blood of the Tiger. Welcome, Judy. Thank you for being with us today.
Keith, thanks so much for having me.
Well, I've been looking forward to it. When I read your book, I was just truly amazed because I was one of those who had heard that tiger populations are on the rebound. But I do have a basic question. Why should we care if wild tigers disappear? There's plenty in zoos, aren't there?
Yeah, yes, but a zoo tiger is not the same as a wild tiger. And, you know, the tiger is the king of the jungle. It is the most iconic animal from human lore throughout the ages. And think of all the sports teams and products that use the tiger's image today. That image in our hearts and minds is not a zoo tiger. That's a wild tiger. And more importantly, though, tigers keep forests standing. Where there are wild tigers' forests are protected and kept intact. Healthy forests provide humanity with fresh water, clean air, foods, medicines, and so much more. And a lot of people say to me, if we can't save wild tigers, what can we save? I mean, really, can we even save ourselves?
You know, that's a good question. And I think so many times we think of an animal like a tiger as top of the food pyramid, but as a primary predator. But they're also, as you say, really do a lot to keep the jungles and their habitat pristine, which has a trickle-down effect or maybe a gushing effect as far as humans are concerned.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I think that India is the perfect example. It is the last stronghold, of course, of tigers in the wild. But many of my Indian friends will attest to the fact that those forests where tigers live would not be standing today if they had not been set aside as tiger reserves. And there is evidence, too, that when tigers are either poached out or otherwise leave an area, that then the humans come in to occupy the space, take the minerals, build highways, etc.
That's really tragic. It's really tragic. Now, what were the Bangkok bears, which you talk about in your book, and why did they start you on your journey?
The Bangkok bears were both sun bears, which is the smallest of the world's eight bear species, and I stumbled upon both of them in Bangkok way back in 1989. One narrowly missed being barbecued for Korean tourists, and the other I found in a small cage in the hot sun without water at Bangkok's largest crocodile farm. And I could do nothing to save that little bear at the croc farm, but I promised her I would do everything I could to help her kind. And that's what led me on this very long journey, which started with me learning that bears in North American forests were increasingly turning up dead with nothing but their gallbladders and paws missing. And that then eventually led me to investigate the bear trade across Asia.
Now, the bear trade, I mean, they're not taking their skins, or they're just taking their gallbladders and their paws? What in the world for?
Yes. Well, and that's still happening today, actually. Well, the paws are particularly delicious cuisine in parts of Asia. They were certainly part of the emperor's banquets back then when they were emperors, and they're considered extremely healthful and, of course, prestigious because very few people can have them. But the gallbladder is the driving factor here. It is the bile inside the bear's gallbladder that people are after. And it is true that there is an active medicinal ingredient in the bile of bears that is not found in any other mammal. And we actually used that active ingredient today in Western medicine, but we use it in the synthesized form. Unfortunately, there are those who believe that the most powerful source of that active ingredient is from wild bears. And so wild bears across the world today continue to have a price on their head for that reason.
So a bear, say, here in Tennessee in the Smokies, would be in danger of being killed just for its gallbladder and paws, which would then be shipped to China?
Yes. Well, China, South Korea, and other places in Asia where people practice some form of traditional Chinese medicine.
Now, do they raise bears also for this trade?
Yes. Bears are battery farmed in China for the bile in their gallbladders. The bile is actually extracted from the bears while they're alive, and it's used in China for everything from life-saving medicines to toothpaste. These farms now produce far more bile than they can sell, and so here's the problem. Far more bile than China can use, and yet wild bears across the world are still being poached for their gallbladders because the bile of wild bears is considered to have superior efficacy.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, these bears, I guess I'm sort of visualizing sort of, instead of a puppy mill, sort of a big bear mill complex. Am I far off from that? Where not only are they milked, but probably the females are bred as frequently as they can be and then just disposed of when they're tired and worn out?
Yeah, they're basically like livestock. They spend most of their years in very small cages. Those that I have seen often live in cages that are so small that they can't stand up and can barely turn around. And then there is a tube stuck inside their abdomen from which the bile is extracted on a periodic basis. It seems to be a very uncomfortable life. And once they're no longer useful, then they are destroyed.
Wow, that is amazing. Now, how did you discover the plan for the Chinese to raise tigers like domestic animals?
Well, I went to China for the first time in 1991, trying to see for myself if it was true that bears were being farmed in large numbers and somehow milked of their bile. At that time, nobody outside of China could confirm whether or not that was true. I will never forget the moment when my chief government watchdog turned to me and said that China intended to farm bears like cows and pigs. That was his expression, like cows and pigs. Then he and my entourage took me to a rickety old mink farm in the middle of nowhere in northeast China. And that fur farm had a handful of tigers in rusty old school zoo cages. The staff proudly showed me a handwritten ledger where they were logging orders for tiger bone. I didn't know it at the time, but this was China's first tiger farm. And there were less than 100 tigers on farms at that time. A couple of years later, in 1993, China banned the trade in tiger bone, and that's when I and many others in the conservation community assumed that the farming would stop. However, regardless of that ban, China's farms now house 6,000 tigers, which is twice the number that remain in the wild.
You said 6,000 that are raised strictly, again, I guess you'd say like cows and pigs, to be slaughtered.
Yes, and what we didn't realize at the time of the ban is that there is an overarching wildlife protection law in China that calls for the farming and consumption, not just of bears and tigers, but of a list of more than 50 endangered species.
50. Now, what other species would be included in that list?
Well, there is now a new rhino farm underway. There have been attempts to farm species like musk deer and pangolins, but those have so far proven to be unsuccessful because these animals are just too sensitive to be raised in a farm setting. And I think that on that list of 50, they're probably mainly species that were once used in traditional Chinese medicine. Please keep in mind that this is a law and a plan that was set in place back in the 1980s when China was quite isolated from the world and it was running out of raw materials for its traditional Chinese medicines. And this was its solution for building stockpiles of these raw materials.
And that's still a law today.
Yes. Well, unbeknownst to most of us in the conservation community, that law stayed in place and that the ban on tiger bone, which was also a ban on rhino horn, did not supersede that law. And that's why these farms were allowed to grow from a few hundred animals to thousands of animals today. And some of these farms have wineries attached to them where tiger skeletons are steeping in wine in anticipation of China lifting its ban on tiger trade.
Okay, so the tigers are raised for their skeletons, for their bones that are immersed in wine, and then the wine is processed and bottled or whatever and sold. Do I have this straight? This is like unbelievable to me.
A tiger farm is basically a feedlot for tigers, where they're bred like cattle for their parts, to make luxury goods such as tiger bone, wine, and tiger skin rugs for home decor. And I want to emphasize that this is about wealth, not health. Traditional Chinese medicine no longer uses tiger bone, and polls have repeatedly shown that Chinese people don't want tiger products or tiger farming. This is about a handful of investors who are poised to launch a multi-billion dollar a year business if China lifts its ban on tiger trade. So this is about products looking for a market rather than a market looking for products.
Oh, wow. Wow. So if they get their way, then they would obviously be able to market this stuff all over the world. And I know from my own experience that there would be people everywhere that would probably buy it. Because I know in Illinois, there were people purchasing lion meat to eat. So it takes no stretch of the imagination that there could be quite a bit of money involved in this possibility. Do they also eat tiger meat? I mean, is that part of the trade? Is that the tiger cuisine?
Yes, there was a recent case, which some people may have read about, where a businessman was actually hosting dinners at which tigers were electrocuted in front of his guests, and then they were able to dine on the meat of the electrocuted tiger afterward.
That is just totally unbelievable. So we're sitting around, and we think of the Romans as pretty bad when it comes to animals, but we're sitting around having cocktails, and for the entertainment, they bring a tiger, electrocute them in front of us. that's enough to, you know, I'm speechless. I really am.
Well, I would like to point out that a lot of people say to me, you people in America kill cows and pigs and chicken. Why can't we use tigers in the same way? And my answer to that is the use of cows and pigs and chickens does not endanger species in the wild, but the use of tigers in that way does endanger tigers in the wild. And we're down to our last 3,200 tigers. That's many, many fewer than we have of elephants and rhinos.
Wow, that's just amazing. Judy, we need to take a break. And I'm asking our audience to stay with us because when we return, Judy will explain how raising tigers for the luxury trade impacts the population of wild tigers.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Amazing Pet Expos is coming to a city near you. Admission is always free, and your pet is welcome. Shopping, adoptions, free nail trims, discounted shots and microchipping, agility, a pet costume contest, and much more. Plus, meet the guys from Animal Planet's hit TV series Tanked and Pit Boss. Online at AmazingPetExpos.com.
Bring your pets to the Pet Expo!
Active for Pets is a new wellness platform and app that helps pet parents save time and money on their vet bills. Stop paying for unnecessary vet treatments. Consult with a vet online. Get unlimited access to your pet's entire health history from any computer or smartphone with the Active for Pets app. Vaccinations, medications, test results, and more. Active for Pets gives you access to a team of expert vets for non-emergency care. Make an appointment before, during, or after office hours. Skip the waiting room and get a secure online vet consult on your schedule. Taking care of your pets is as easy as it gets with Active for Pets. Ready to try Active for Pets? Listeners get 40% off a one-year membership. To get this great offer, use promo code PETLIFE on the sign-up page of active4pets.com. That's A-C-T-I-V, the number 4, P-E-T-S.com. Or call 888-512-2848.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Max A. Pooch's Awesome Animal Advocates. I'm your host, Keith Sanderson, and our guest today is J.A. Mills, author of Blood of the Tiger. Now, Judy, doesn't raising tigers in China reduce the pressure on wild tigers being taken? I mean, their demands would be filled, right, with domestic products from the raised tigers? Am I correct or wrong?
The problem with farming tigers is that it stimulates demand for tiger products. And that, in turn, stimulates poaching of wild tigers because products from wild tigers are considered superior, more prestigious, and they're exponentially more valuable. Think of tiger bone wine from farms as cubic zirconia and wine made from the bones of wild tigers as flawless diamonds. Some people are now investing in products from wild tigers and also rhino horn and elephant ivory as they would invest in gold or rare art. And if even a tiny fraction of China's 1.5 billion people seek wild tiger products, this could create a tsunami of demand that could quickly wipe out the last 3,200 wild tigers.
Wow, you know, that's amazing. You're right, because being a marketer, you know, and always looking at share of market and how to grasp share of market, when you're dealing with a population like China, 1%, 2% is all you would need to wipe out the population. That would be an incredible demand. But why don't the international wildlife advocacy groups do more, Judy?
Keith, this is a very important question, and I wish more people would ask that. I do know that wildlife groups and even governments have been threatened by the ministry in China that is promoting tiger farming and is lobbying heavily for reopening trade in tiger products.
So this threat might be pressure that they can't come in or do something else to advocate for animals, or what would those threats consist of? Do you have any idea?
Well, I know that the threats against some of the wildlife groups have been along the lines of if you continue to bring up tiger farming as an issue, then we will kick your people out of China and you can no longer do work here.
Okay, so even though I may not agree with tiger farming, I I rationalize and say I need to look at the bigger good, whatever that is, the larger good, and I'll not advocate against tiger farming so I can do other things for animals. And in the end, tigers get shafted.
Well, in 2008, we had a global coalition that was trying to stop tiger farming and to stop China from reopening trade. We had governments on board, and we had a coalition of 42 organizations around the world that represented millions of members, and they were shouting at every opportunity about this threat to wild tigers, and that caused the UN Treaty on International Trade in Endangered Species to decide that tiger farming should stop. But after that, there was a huge sort of backroom backlash against a lot of these groups and some of these governments, and the world went silent.
So nothing's been done since. It just goes. Now, so this is much more than just food in China. The geopolitics of this then are just worldwide. I mean, sounds like it touches the U.S., probably almost any Western nation that has wildlife advocacy groups. Is that right?
Yeah, I'd like to give a little bit of a background here, and that is that farming of tigers, bears, and now rhinos, plus this long list of other species, was China's answer to growing scarcity of these animals back in the 1980s. You know, that was China's answer to conservation. Now so much has changed, but there are still people within the government who hold on to this as their answer, as China's answer to conservation. And now some advocates of this commodification of wild animals have made it a matter of East versus West, which makes it even more politically charged. And as China has risen economically and politically, many fewer wildlife groups and governments are willing to speak against farming, even though there was this decision back in 2008 that tiger farming should stop. And I fear that the world may end up forfeiting wild tigers for the sake of geopolitical correctness and expediency.
Wow. That would be so sad if that happened. I mean, it'd be a tragedy, not say it would just be an incredible tragedy. And what can listeners do to help, you know, fight this, to prevent tiger farming and to raise awareness? Are there any organizations or websites they can go to, A, to help, and B, to get more information?
Well, on my website, which is jamillsauthor.com, I have a list of things that individuals can do, and that same list is also at the back of the book. But I would like to say that there is something everyone can do. I think most people in the United States will remember that a few years ago, it wasn't okay to talk about climate change. And that's where the world is now with China's farming and consumption of tigers. So I would encourage your listeners to speak up, to make it not just okay to talk about tiger farming, but essential. And they can do this via Twitter or Facebook or talking to their friends or writing letters to the White House, even to China's ambassador to the United States. There is something for everyone at every level that they can do to make sure this issue is talked about. And it is only if the world starts talking about it again that it will be addressed in a way other than the way it's going now, which is toward the commodification of tigers. And if people don't speak up, the king of the jungle will soon be the king of nothing more than the feedlot.
That's amazing. Well, I know one thing. I suspect that if somebody said, do you want to go on a vacation to China tomorrow or next week or next month, I probably, knowing what I do now, I would say, no, I don't want to go there. And I'd probably turn around and send a letter to nearest consulate or the Chinese embassy saying, hey, I'm not going to visit your country unless something's done about tiger farming. I mean, that's one thing I could do anyway, is, you know, personally, that could have a much bigger impact, because it'd be a loss of probably way more dollars than they'll make on tiger wine.
Please keep in mind, though, that this isn't about the Chinese people. Again, polls have shown us that a majority of Chinese people don't want this. This isn't about Chinese people rising up and saying, we want this. This is about a handful of powerful people who want this to happen, a handful of people who stand to get very rich from this. And I have heard from Chinese people and read on the internet pleas from Chinese people to remember that this isn't what they want, and they're actually embarrassed about this. They find this embarrassing for their country.
I wouldn't want to mean to lump, but I mean, that's one way to for the authorities to understand there is some pressure here without saying bad things or to the Chinese people. And it might take some kind of threat of a boycott to get officials to change. I mean, sometimes pressure might have to be used. But Judy, where can I purchase your book? Can I get it in bookstores, Amazon, online? Where?
All of the above. You can purchase Blood of the Tiger anywhere books are sold.
Okay, and can I find it online too?
It is on Amazon, and I believe it's on other available online at other book dealers as well.
Great, great. What's your website address again, Judy?
It is J.A. Mills, M-I-L-L-S, author, all one word, at gmail.com. And I would like to add just a bit of good news for those who might feel a little bit discouraged by this story. I wanted to say that there are people in China, a growing group of lawyers and other people who have joined together to try to change China's law and to take the mandate to farm and consume animals out of China's wildlife protection law. And if people are to start talking about this, I hope they will add that because it's encouraging news. And I think if there's any way possible, people around the world should try to support these people in their efforts.
Is there any way, if I wanted to send an email to this group, is there any way I can find out who the group is to encourage them or let them know I'm backing them?
Yes, again, on my website and also at the back of Blood of the Tiger, I give websites and addresses where people can go to actually make their voices be heard.
Wow, what an incredible story, Judy. Thank you for, well, first of all, thank you for being with us, but greater thank you, just thank you for bringing this story to view. I mean, we've heard of some other things as far as dogs in China and the fur trade in China, but as much as I follow things, I never realized that the tiger was such an important aspect of a potentially big international business.
Well, I'd like to thank you for doing this story because the reason I wrote the book was to just spread the word. And in doing this story, you're spreading the word, and I hope that your listeners will also join in and spread the word. And that is how we can help wild tigers.
Well, I'm going to ask everybody listening if they can do that. And Judy, I'm going to ask that if sometime in the next year we can have you back on again and you can give us an update.
I would love to do that, Keith, and I hope and pray it will be good news.
Me too, because this certainly is something that to me is shocking, and I don't use that word much. I mean, not like some people where everything is outrageous or shocking. But truly, in the true meaning of those words, this is just beyond belief. Judy, you're an inspirational example of how animal advocates are helping animals and improving or at least fighting to save their lives. Max A. Pooch wants to thank you and gives you five big tail wagging wolves for sharing with us the work you are doing to help there still be places on this planet that are home to wild tigers. And I want to thank Mark Winter, executive producer and co-founder of Pet Life Radio, and the sponsors who make this program possible. Please join us for each and every episode of Max A. Pooch's Awesome Animal Advocates, and be sure to tell your friends about us, and be sure to tell your friends about Judy Mills and Blood of the Tiger and the story of what's going on. And remember, until we meet again, when you do a good thing for animals, you make the world a better place for both humans and animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.